As you all probably know, Scott does cover the stock, and so you can see detailed report on the actual half year results from Scott's actual report, and you'll see also online the full half year presentation. But Scott thought it was probably useful that I step back a little bit and give people more an appreciation of the fundamentals for Nanosonics and the company and what we actually do, first of all. So Nanosonics, overall, we're a healthcare organization specialized in the area of infection prevention. So we develop medical devices for infection prevention. The first product that we have out in the market being commercialized at the moment is called the Trophon EPR, and that's specifically designed for the high-level disinfection of ultrasound transducers. And as you can imagine, ultrasound transducers are being used both intracavity and surface probes, being used in a wide variety of procedures in the hospital and medical setting where they can come into contact with mucous membranes, bodily fluid, blood, etc. So therefore, they need to be high-level disinfected in between patient use. The product itself, being a medical device, needs to go through regulatory approval, and we have approval in all the major markets now, so including the US and Canada, here in Australia, New Zealand, across Europe, in Singapore, Hong Kong, South Korea, and Japan. And most of those markets we now have a presence in, with the exception of South Korea. The business model, the selling model that we have is one of either direct sales, where we've established our own direct field forces in various markets, or working with some top brand distributors, such as the major ultrasound companies like GE Healthcare and Philips, Siemens, Toshiba, or Canon now, I guess. And but as well as that, some other companies like Sakura Seiki, which is the largest infection prevention company in Japan. We do have an active R&D program underway, where we're aiming to bring out a second generation of the current device, as well as a number of new infection prevention solutions over the next 2 years or so. Just to give you a bit of a sense of the actual product, that's just a picture there of the product with an ultrasound transducer being inserted into the product. Imagine it's the size of your microwave oven at home, put on its side. And the technology itself, or the business model for the technology, is we either sell the capital equipment or we rent the capital equipment, or I'll talk in a second about the different selling models actually. But the investment thesis is one of generating revenue from the capital equipment, as well as an annuity stream of revenue that comes from the consumables that goes with the capital equipment. So the consumable is the disinfectant and chemical indicators, etc. And to give you an idea, the capital equipment will sell at approximately between $6,500 to $7,500 USD, at 65, about 65% margins. And each machine, when we sell direct, will generate approximately 3,000 AUD per annum in annuity stream of revenue. So it's the old printer and ink type model that is working very, very successfully. From a competitive perspective, it is really the only successful automated machine that's out in the marketplace today. It's very, very safe and proven to be highly effective from a bactericidal, fungicidal, virucidal perspective, as you would imagine. But it's also very safe for the user in that there is no exposure to any chemistry, etc. And importantly, safe for the environment as well. The old traditional mechanisms of decontamination, which were soaking these probes in toxic chemistry, and then the hospitals used to have to dispose of that toxic chemistry. Well, we're only using about 2 mils of a hydrogen peroxide-based chemistry for every disinfection cycle, and that's broken down to oxygen and water at the end of the cycle, so there's no disposal. Highly versatile in that it can be used at point of care, so in there beside the ultrasound console where the patient is, rather than having to take the probes into a separate ventilated room where other chemistries may be used. But very, very importantly, we've worked with all the ultrasound companies to validate all their probes with the machine, which means we put those probes through thousands and thousands of cycles to make sure that they're compatible. And we've got now over 1,000 probes compatible with the machine. And very, very importantly, it's very, very simple to use. So rather than a laborious about 40-minute mechanism of decontamination in the old way, really the sonographer just has to desheet a probe, wipe the gel off, hang it in the Trophon unit, close the door, press start, and 7 minutes later everything is done with full traceability. There is a significant global market opportunity for the product, in that I've just highlighted up here the three regions in North America, an opportunity for about 40,000 units. In Europe, very, very similar number, and similar numbers again in Asia Pacific. And those numbers are derived from the actual number of ultrasound units that are out in those regions. But what's really important for each of these markets and the determinant of success is what are the adoption drivers for the technology. And the most important adoption driver for the technology is whether or not guidelines and mandates are in place that transducers should be high-level disinfected. And in those markets where those mandates exist and those guidelines exist, such as in North America, well, you can see we're gaining now rapid penetration. After just a number of years, we've got up to about 35% market penetration and growing at approximately 1,700 units into hospitals every half, which is amazing adoption. In Europe, it's still, we've really only started in Europe. And in a number of markets, believe it or not, they don't have guidelines that these probes need to be high-level disinfected. Some of them just wipe them with a tissue between patient use. But that's all changing, in that there are more and more new guidelines coming out. So there's a number of countries that have now guidelines and increasing on the back of a lot of work that we have been doing in those markets. But I've pulled out the UK specifically in Europe because over the last 12 months, we have there have been a number of guidelines that have been introduced, and we're now seeing rapid adoption in the UK, and we expect our UK market to grow by about 100% actually this year. And in Asia Pacific, again, we don't have too much representation in Asia Pacific outside of Australia, New Zealand. We are commencing now in Japan, small distributors up in Hong Kong and Singapore. But to give you an idea, in Australia, we're probably 70% market penetrated. And that's here in Australia. There are good fundamentals for adoption. And when you can get 70% market penetration, what that is a great indicator of is in those other markets that have strong fundamentals for adoption, well, then we can be very, very successful because of the value proposition of our technology. When you look at our revenue models, you've got to take into consideration that we have a number of different selling models and different selling models to suit different markets. So the traditional selling model, and this is the primary model, for example, in the United States, is we would sell the capital equipment, and then the customer continues to purchase on a monthly or every 2 months the consumables on a needs basis. But we also have a model, which is a primary model in the UK, which is called the managed equipment service model. And in that model, we've implemented that because gaining access to capital budgets through the NHS system in hospitals in the UK is very difficult. So what we do there is we will actually place the unit free of charge in the hospital, but then charge an all-inclusive price for the consumables. So the customer ends up paying close to double for the consumables. But from a revenue recognition perspective, what that means is upfront, we don't see any revenue recognition for the capital equipment, but over time, it's a far more profitable model for us on an NPV basis. And then we have beginning to increase our rental models. So in the rental model, again, you don't have the full injection of capital revenue upfront, but over time, you get the rent of the product that we retain ownership. That's in the direct when we're selling direct. And today we've got direct operations in the United States, in the UK, building it now in Germany. But we do also have distributors in some of those countries. On the distributor side, it's really two types. One is really GE Healthcare, which are a primary distributor for us in the US as well, where they have access to both to capital and consumables and service. So we'll sell to all of those elements to GE, which they on-sell to the customer. So as I mentioned previously, in a direct model, we earn about 3,000 AUD in an annuity stream of revenue from the consumables direct. When we're selling through a distributor, we earn about 1,500. But there is a key thing happening in July 2019 is the agreement with GE changes, and the total installed base in the United States will come to Nanosonics for all the consumables. And then we've got what we call capital reseller models, and that's where we've enabled all the ultrasound companies just to have access to the capital equipment that they can bundle when they're selling their ultrasound equipment. Then we'll install it, and that customer becomes a customer for Nanosonics for the ongoing provision of consumables and service. So that gives an idea of the range of selling models that are out there. I won't go through the financial results for the first half because Scott has done a great job of that in his reports. But to give you an idea in North America, here on the bar chart, you see the rate of growth and adoption of the technology, which is probably one of the fastest pieces of medical device technology being adopted into hospitals in the US at the moment. So in the last half, the installed base grew by 1,700 units. So we've got now a total of over 14,000 units generating annuity revenue in the United States. We're continuing our investment over there in education and sales and marketing because there's a still a big opportunity to get to that other 65% of the market. And we've also invested quite heavily in the US in that we've built up over the last 12 months our own direct infrastructure, not just from a sales perspective, but also from a warehousing service, order fulfillment, etc. So quite a large investment has gone into the US. As I mentioned, what is really important to understand is from July 2019, there'll be a significant increase both on top line and margin coming to Nanosonics because all of the existing GE installed base, and they've been selling it for over 6 years now, will be coming to Nanosonics for the ongoing provision of consumables. So that we'll see the delta between us earning $1,500 for each unit that GE has sold to rise to about 3,000. And in Europe, the fundamentals over there are really beginning to strengthen. Certainly in the UK, we're now seeing very strong adoption, but we're now also seeing adoption in Germany and France, which are is our primary focus. But we've also put on a regional business development manager as part of our geographical expansion strategy across Europe. And in Asia Pacific, key focus obviously in Australia. Already highly penetrated over here, but that the growth continues and just major efforts going in a pre-marketing sense now into Japan as we've signed an agreement with our distributor over there. One of the key things for the business moving forward is we got quite a focused ramp up in R&D and a large investment going into R&D. We intend to invest over between $12 and $14 million this year, with the aim that beyond FY18, this financial year, from FY19 to through to the end of FY20, you should expect to see at least a second generation of the device coming to market, as well as one or two new infection prevention products, not in the trophon area, but still in the healthcare area that can leverage the channels that we already have out in the market. So from a business outlook perspective, in the second half of FY18, we're expecting to see continued strong growth in the United States, where we're expecting at least another 1,700 units going into hospitals. So that cumulative installed base, which will generate strong annuity revenue, will continue to grow. Our program in the UK overall for the full year, we expect the UK to grow by over 100%. And we do expect GE perhaps to tighten their working capital from an inventory perspective, but then the business is not really measured on how much we sell into inventory. It's all about the installed base is the most important metric to really follow for the business. And as I say, we are continuing to invest very much in R&D and look forward to bringing some new products to market as a result of that. So Scott, I'll stop there
Okay,
and maybe
great.
open for any questions.